go ahead and steal this up here.
Steal? What are you stealing, Pastor Peter?
Oh, I'm just pulling a pulpit up.
Hi, kid.
What are you doing here, Doug?
Well, generations wouldn't be generations without the dude.
Well,
what are you doing here?
It would certainly be different.
I get you there.
It would be different.
But I need to lock them.
Doug.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Ooh, okay. I might have an answer.
Do things always go your way?
Well, I like to think they do.
I have a question for you kids. Do things always go your way?
No.
That seems pretty conclusive. What about you adults? Do things always go the way you want them to go?
No.
What? Really?
What is something that kids and maybe some adults say or think about saying when things don't go their way? Do you have any ideas, Doug?
Let's see. I think I've seen this one a few times. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want the purple fire BB dragon over there.
But what happens when somebody else gets that and you don't?
I still want it.
What?
I still want it.
So what do you say if your friend gets the, what was it you wanted?
The purple fire-breathing dragon over there.
So if your friend gets the purple fire-breathing dragon over there and you don't, what are you tempted to say?
Oh, boy, I'm going to get that purple fire-breathing dragon back and get it.
What do you sometimes say?
Hey, you interrupted me.
What?
You interrupted me.
Okay, well, what were you going to say, Doug?
I forgot. That's why you shouldn't interrupt people. That's one thing I didn't get. I didn't get to finish my thought.
So what is something that you might be tempted to say if someone else gets something that you didn't get? Any ideas?
That's not fair.
That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And what's something that if we're treated in a way that we don't think is fair, when somebody doesn't treat us right, when someone is mean to us, when someone doesn't treat us fairly, what are we tempted to say then?
I'm going to get even.
That's right.
I'm going to go to that guy with the purple fire-breathing
dragon.
All
right, well, let's move on past the purple fire-breathing dragon. That seems oddly specific, like this is an ongoing problem in your life, I think. All right, just wait. So, you know what?
But
sometimes life just isn't fair. How many of you have ever had a time when life just didn't seem fair?
2020.
Pretty much everybody. Sometimes we do something that seems just a little bit wrong to us, and we're like, I know I wasn't supposed to do that, but it wasn't that big a deal, and you get into really big trouble. Has that ever happened to any of you?
2020.
And somebody else? Hey, that's happened to me. Some of you adults need to be honest. We think this is a really little problem in our life, and we get in a lot of trouble over it, and somebody else does something that we think is really big, and they get a, you know what that is? Slap on the wrist. They don't get in big trouble at all. They're like, oh, don't do that. Sometimes we get in trouble and we don't even understand what we did wrong. Has that ever happened to any of you?
You're like, I'll stop counting.
Yeah, you maybe should stop counting, I think. That's happened to me, right? This is things that happen to all of us. Sometimes we get into trouble and we know things are going bad in our life, and we haven't done anything wrong at all. We've been being good. We've been obeying God, and bad things can still happen.
What?
And we can be tempted to say, that's not fair. Other things in life can seem unfair. We already talked about this, too. Sometimes your friends are going to get more Christmas presents than you do. Sometimes your friends are going to get what you really wanted and you don't get what you really wanted. Sometimes your kids are going to be allowed to do the things that you want to do and you're like, that's not fair. Why did their parents let them do that? And I don't get to do that. There's a lot of things in life that just don't feel fair. And that has a lot to do with our story tonight.
Oh,
tonight.
What's the story about then?
With our story tonight. When we started out a few months ago, what was the first thing that we talked about?
The Bible.
We've been talking about the Bible the whole time.
Every
what was
Sunday.
The first thing? Do any of you kids remember what the first thing we talked about was? Chloe?
Adam and Eve sinning in the garden.
That was the last thing we talked about. What was the first thing we talked about? We've heard a missionary story every week. What was the first story about? It's the first story in the Bible. What? No, that's what we're talking about tonight, Noah.
Wait.
Creation.
Oh, I was
we talked about
to say
how
that.
God made everything, and when he was done, it was all very good. So we talked about God made everything that is, and therefore everything that is his. We talked about how God created everything. And then the next time, we talked about how God made mankind, he made people in his image, God made boys and girls as his image,
uh-huh.
God made boys and girls to be different, but God made boys and girls both to represent him.
Image.
And then the last time someone mentioned this, we talked about how Adam and Eve sinned against God by disobeying his word.
Oh, yeah, they ate that apple, or grape, or peach, or what? Was it a watermelon, maybe?
It was the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil.
Well, it was fruity.
They ate that fruit they weren't supposed to eat, and they rebelled against God. It wasn't about the fruit, it was about their rebellion.
Oh.
And after their rebellion, they got kicked out of the garden. And it wasn't long after they got kicked out of the garden before Adam and Eve had two sons. Now, Miss Ashley quizzed you on the names of the two sons. What were the names of Adam and Eve's first two sons? Cain and Abel.
Oh.
So Cain, her oldest son, was a farmer. And Abel was a shepherd. And we pick up our story. Hey, it's not a question and answer time yet. You're supposed to be listening. I can't go on until it's really quiet. There's still someone talking.
I don't know who that could be. I mean, who? Is someone out there talking? I don't
There's
see anybody
someone
talking.
On the front row that's talking. No talking.
The talker in the front row. I see you.
That sounds quiet now. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
Fruit of the ground?
That means he was a farmer and he brought some of the stuff that he had farmed.
Oh,
and
like
he brought
potatoes?
An offering. So Cain brought an offering. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So Cain was a shepherd. Abel was a shepherd. So what did Abel offer up?
Sheep.
Sheep. So Cain brought his crops, and Abel brought his sheep. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. That's the Lord paid attention to what Abel offered.
Oh.
But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So the Lord paid attention to Abel, and he didn't pay attention to Cain.
Did he not like fruits and vegetables?
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
And Cain was very wroth, or very angry,
ooh.
And his countenance, or his face, fell. He was angry. Now, a few minutes ago, we talked about how sometimes life doesn't seem fair to us. And in our story, we see this same problem. Cain brought an offering, and Abel brought an offering.
Uh-huh.
God paid attention to Abel's offering, and God didn't pay attention to Cain's offering.
Carrots.
And it just didn't seem fair to Cain. Now, a lot of people have tried to figure out, well, why would God... Hey! A lot of people have tried to figure out, why was it that God accepted Abel's offering and didn't accept Cain's offering? And there have been a lot of good guesses, but you know what? The Bible doesn't tell us why. And probably Cain didn't know why. All Cain knew was that he brought an offering, and Abel brought an offering, and God accepted Abel's offering, and God didn't accept Cain's offering, and that made Cain very angry. And it didn't seem fair to Cain. And he got very upset. And God came to Cain. And you know what? God didn't come to Cain and give him instructions about offerings. He came to Cain and confronted him about his attitude, about the way he was looking at the situation. And God told him that his attitude was all wrong.
Ooh.
But Cain, do you think he listened?
No.
No, he didn't listen.
That's a bad place to be.
That was a bad place to be. What Cain needed to realize was that God didn't owe Cain anything. Just like Adam and Eve, just like you and me, Cain was a sinner. And when God didn't accept Cain's offering, rather than focusing on Abel and saying, "It's not fair. How come Abel's offering is accepted and mine isn't?" That was his attitude. Remember, he was focused on why Abel was accepted and he wasn't. He should have humbled his heart and gone to God in faith. He should have searched his heart and repented of sin. He should have patiently waited on God to show him what he needed to change, even if it didn't all make sense to him yet.
That doesn't sound quite like what Cain did.
That is not what Cain did. Well, is that what Cain did? Do you all know?
No.
That was not what Cain did. Instead of repenting, instead of changing his own attitude, Cain got more and more angry. Rather than thinking about the changes he needed to make in his own heart, he thought more and more about how unfair everything was. And the more he focused on Abel and the way that God had accepted him, the angrier he became. And pretty soon, he was so angry with Abel that he started to hate Abel.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
It wasn't good. That's what we learned about in our memory verse. The way that Cain saw it, because remember, Cain wasn't looking at his own problems. Cain was looking at Abel and how it wasn't fair. And the way that Cain saw it, Abel was the problem. Because Abel was making Cain look bad.
Uh-oh.
Because Cain probably wouldn't have cared if God hadn't accepted either of their offerings. But God accepted Abel and not Cain? That made Cain look bad. And that made him angry. And that anger turned into hatred. And the righteousness that was in Abel's life exposed the evil that was in Cain's life. And he couldn't stand that. And because he couldn't want to deal with his own sin, and because he couldn't stand how unfair everything seemed, he decided to get even with Abel.
Oh, how did he do that? Did he, let a sheep out? Or did he, spray paint it blue?
Worse than that.
Oh, really?
Do any of you kids know how Cain tried to get even?
Did he feed it a carrot?
He killed him.
Whoa, 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 whoa. He what?
He was so filled with hatred that he went out into the field and he killed Abel, his brother.
That's not nice.
Now, this is an awful story, isn't it? It's a story about the first murder. And when we hear an awful story like this, it'd be easy to think, oh, Cain was bad, bad, bad. We would never do anything like Cain. And you know what? I certainly hope and pray and trust that none of you kids will ever kill your brothers or sisters.
Oh, that would be bad.
But you know what?
But
this isn't just a story about how bad Cain was. This is a story that shows us the temptations that are already in our own hearts.
Temptation?
Because when things don't go our way,
we get angry.
We are tempted to get angry too. We are tempted to focus on how unfair things seem, and we are even tempted to try to get even. All of us are tempted, even though we would all say, at least hopefully all of us would say, we would never do what Cain did, we are all tempted to follow in Cain's footsteps. When one of your brothers or sisters or friends tattles on you, you're going to be tempted to tattle back on them, even if you have to make something up to do it. When somebody gets you in trouble, you know what your heart wants to do?
Get them in trouble.
Get them in trouble, even if you have to tell a lie. When someone else gets something that we want, We're tempted to want something that's even better so that they'll be jealous of us instead. So when they get a toy that we want, then our hearts want to get a toy that they want so that we'll be cooler than they are. So that people will look to us and be excited about what we have. So if they get the 500-piece Lego set that we wanted, then we want to get the set with 750 pieces so that everyone will be impressed with our Legos.
I think that's the Death Star.
If they get a dolly with two dresses, then sometimes you're going to want a dolly with three dresses so
Not
that
me.
You're cooler than them.
Not me. I'm cool
and
with my...
And adults, shirt. This doesn't stop with Legos and dolls. It extends. I could be more specific, but I think you probably already have some ideas in mind.
Purple dragons.
And those two. You just have this obsession with purple dragons. I'm concerned
hey,
about
you. Hey, you just asked for something more specific.
No, I said I wasn't going to get more specific. Anyway, moving on. When things don't seem fair to us, when hard things happen to us that we can't understand, when everything seems to be going wrong and we seem to be getting in trouble all the time, the temptation that all of us face is to get angry and to blame other people, or even to blame God.
What?
Even as little children, you're tempted to say it's not fair and to try to get even. And the story of Cain teaches us that this is a horrible idea because when we try to get even, we always make things worse. Even if we never go as far as Cain, anger and hatred and pride always take us farther than we ever thought we could. It teaches us to say nastier things than we ever thought we would say, to do hurtful things that we can never undo. It'd be easy for us to look down our noses at Cain and say, what a horrible brother Cain was. I would never be like him. Yep. But the reality is that all of us are tempted to be more like him than we think. All of us are sinners. And all of us are selfish. And all of us are tempted by anger and jealousy and pride and even by hatred. And all of us, if only in our own hearts, even if you've never said, I'm going to get even, you've wanted to get even. Oh. That's the kind of sinful hearts that all of us have. Oh. So what hope is there for sinners like you and like me?
Yeah, based on what you just said, it sounds like there's very little hope.
Well, if it was left up to us, it'd be pretty sad.
Yeah.
Because we have this terrible example of Cain. And all of us are at least a little bit like Cain, aren't we?
Oops.
That's pretty bad. Who do you think our hope is?
I don't know. Not me.
This is the easy answer. So let's just all say it together. Who is our hope? Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody has ever been treated more unfairly than Jesus. Unlike us, he was absolutely perfect. He never did anything wrong. He was never selfish or greedy. Jesus never even had the guineas. He was never jealous, and he never tried to get even. And because... Hey, don't interrupt, okay? Because the righteousness of Jesus exposed the sin of others, they hated him. Because Jesus was righteous, just like Abel showed up Cain... and made Cain look bad? Well, Jesus made the leaders of his day look bad, too. Do you think that made them happy?
No, those Pharisees were mad.
They were angry.
Mad.
They were bad and they were angry.
Bad.
They were just like us, bad and angry.
Wait, us bad and angry?
Yeah, we're kind of like them, too. And you know what? Jesus had all the power. Do you think Jesus could have gotten even with the Pharisees if he wanted to? He could have. Jesus had all the power, but you know what Jesus did? Jesus died for the Pharisees.
Even those guys?
Even those guys, especially those guys, which is good news because we're an awful lot like those guys.
Oh, so if he's willing to die for them, then he was willing to die for us.
Exactly.
Amen.
Instead, not only did Jesus silently endure the hatred of his enemies, he took on himself the punishment from God that my sins deserve and that your sins deserve. When Cain killed Abel, God placed a curse on Cain.
A curse?
A curse. Cain suffered the judgment of God for his sin. But you know what Jesus did?
But
Jesus took our curse on himself. He didn't just take all the hatred and the scorn from the people that were in his day. He took on himself the punishment that hatred that's in our own hearts deserves. Even though we were his enemies, he stood in our place and he paid the price for our sin so that all who believe in him and trust in him alone, everyone who doesn't, what was Cain supposed to do when God came to him and said, Cain, you're doing what was wrong? He should have done what?
Not killed Abel.
He should have listened to God. He should have done, he should have repented of his attitude. He should have made a change. He should have stopped thinking about how unfair things were, and he should have worshipped God. He should have repented and believed God. And anyone today who repents and believes in Jesus is welcomed into God's family, even though we're sinners, just like Cain. Even though we were his enemies, Jesus stood in our place and paid the price for our sin so that all who believe in him could go free. But you know what? When Jesus brings us into his family, do you think he wants us to keep imitating Cain?
No.
Are Jesus' children supposed to act like the sons and daughters of Cain?
No.
No, they are not. If you belong to Jesus, the love that Jesus has given you is the kind of love that you are called to have, not just for one another, but even for your enemies. This is what Jesus had to say. Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus is saying, when people treat you unfairly, when people are mean to you, when people do hurtful things to you, you should show them love. Rather than following the example of Cain, who said, it's not fair, I'm going to get even.
Ooh.
We should say, here's an opportunity for me to follow in the steps of Jesus and show love. Rather than trying to get even, we're to go out of our way to show love, to do good to those who treat us unfairly. Rather than thinking about how we can protect ourselves, we're to think about how we can show love to others. When we feel, hey, we got to focus on the lesson right now, okay? When we feel rightly or wrongly like we're being treated unfairly, we need to follow the example of Jesus rather than the example of Cain. How many of you kids have ever had someone say something mean to you?
Yeah.
I think all your hands have gone up. If you're listening, your hand should be up. How many of you adults have ever had someone say something mean to you?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That should be everybody. All of us have had people treat us unkindly. And when people are mean to us, or they say things about us that aren't true, or they say things about us that seem unfair, you know what we're tempted to do? We're tempted to say, that's not fair. I'm going to get even. You know, you're saying that thing about me, but you know what I know about you? I'm going to go tell stories about you to all your friends and see how you like that. That's the attitude that all of us are tempted to have. But we need to remember, that's the attitude of Cain, and the attitude of Jesus is to respond with love and kindness, even when we are not shown love and kindness in return. And the only reason we can follow in the steps of Jesus is because Jesus walked those steps ahead of us. We don't have the power to be good just by, I'm going to try to be kinder, I'm going to try to be kinder, I'm going to try to be good. We can't do that. But when we look to Jesus and we look to the love that he showed to us, we can take from the love that Jesus has given us and we can give that love to other people.
Ooh.
Because if we really receive Jesus' love, and Jesus' love is really deep down in our hearts, then what comes out of our mouth is going to reflect what's in our heart.